Thank you for joining me again today, and I want to remind you that I now have a mailing address. Snail mail, regular mail, a post office box, whatever you want to call it, and you can now write me a letter, put a stamp on it, and mail it to God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. That's God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890, and you spell Winchester, WinChester. God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. I hope many of you will take advantage of this and send me a note today via regular mail. I'd love to hear from you, and of course, you can still email me, mark@markaswallow.com. Today we return to the text that we were looking at yesterday, and that is the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapters 1 through 3. I want to focus our attention on chapter 3, verse 14, where God said to Moses, I am who I am. But first, I am summarizing for you the build-up to that chapter and verse by setting the context. Last time I got us as far as Exodus chapter 2 and verse 10. Let me give that to you again as a reminder and then make some comments on these verses. And also remember that when I read about the house of Levi and the daughter of Levi, I am reading about Israelite, Jewish people. Same with the name Hebrew. This is now Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, This is one of the Hebrew's children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, Shall I go and call a nurse for you from among the Hebrew women so that she may nurse the child for you? Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Go ahead. So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, Because I drew him out of the water. The key name here, the one you want to circle in your Bible, is the name Moses. He's a miracle baby. His Israelite, Jewish mother gave birth to him and raised him in secret as long as she could. But when Moses grew to 3 months, she did something remarkable. She put him in a wicker basket and placed him along the Nile River. It is remarkable what people will do to survive. And the Jews were trying to survive the leadership of a new king over Egypt, the Pharaoh, who has given instructions that all newborn Jewish boys, like Moses, are to be killed. And notice that I read this baby boy has an older sister. She was a key part in this true story. As Moses' older sister watched his little basket among the reeds, and as the providence of God would have it, the Pharaoh's daughter came there to bathe. Now, who is the daughter of Pharaoh? She is the daughter of the king. She is the daughter of the new ruler who has commanded that all Jewish boys are to be murdered. But the text says that she had pity on baby Moses. Pity. This is in obvious violation of her dad's decree. What should the Pharaoh's daughter have done by human standards? She should have drowned baby Moses in the river. She should have killed him or have had someone else murder him, but she doesn't do that. Instead, she turns to Moses' sister, of all people. And Moses' older sister is sent to get Moses' mom, and believe it or not, his Jewish mom nurses him until Moses grew, and then, as if this can be any more incredible, the mother of Moses gives him back to Pharaoh's daughter. Can any mother out there ever imagine doing this? Well, if the livelihood of your son and your family depended on it, I bet you could. And if you are within the sound of my voice and you are a refugee or an asylum seeker or if you should be poor or living in a country with an oppressive ruler committed to the devastation of your people, then I am certain you can relate very well to the decision Moses' mother made. She gave her beautiful baby boy back to Pharaoh's daughter and household. That must have been a gut-wrenching moment, but her trust in God results in the remarkable, ongoing life of her son, Moses. And from here, Moses gets his name, and the Pharaoh's daughter nurtures him. Moses is now her son. Now, of course, we could spend the rest of the week here. Oh, would the clock just please sometimes stop? But let's press on, because remember, I'm just setting the context for Exodus chapter 3 and God's revelation to Moses of who God is. And so again, by way of summary, from Exodus 2 and verse 11, until the end of chapter 2, Moses grows into adulthood. Moses kills an Egyptian who was beating a Hebrew. Moses then goes on the run. Moses meets and marries his wife. Moses himself has a son, and Moses settles as a shepherd in the land of Midian. You say, whoa, slow down. Well, if that's how you feel, then read Exodus chapter 2 for yourself later today, and you can take all of that in at a pace that is more conducive to you. But that's exactly what happens. Oh, and one more thing. That king, the Pharaoh, the one who wanted all Jewish boys murdered, dies. And the Israelite people cry out to God to help them. The Bible says that God heard their groaning and took notice of them, willing to answer their prayer. God is going to do something to lift his people, the Jews, out of the mess they are living in within Egypt. And that brings us to chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And I want to begin by reading verse 1, then some brief comments before we come to verse 2. This is Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. What takes place next happens within the shadow of the mountain of God. This little phrase indicates that Moses wrote the book of Exodus, because the name mountain of God comes as a result of what happens later in the history of Israel. So that what Moses does is to call Mount Horeb the mountain of God now, even though we do not read about events related to it until later in the Bible. And Moses can do this because he personally experienced what happened at Horeb. Okay, I just want to insert here one indication of why I believe Moses is the author of the book of Exodus. Let's continue to verse 2. Exodus 3 and verse 2. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. Now this is quite a sight, and one that any one of us would be sure to investigate. How is it possible that the bush is on fire, but it does not burn? I mean, can you imagine that you are strolling through a park, and you look over, and there is a green, leafy bush on fire, flames burning every which way, but the bush itself never burns? Well, there is a reason for this oddity: the appearance of the angel of the Lord. I believe the angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ. This is what we call a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. Now, Jesus has always existed. Jesus does exist, and Jesus will always exist. Of course, this is true because Jesus is God. But Jesus took on the appearance of a man. He was incarnate. He lived on earth as a man for the years of his earthly ministry. We read about those years in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, long before that, Jesus appears to real people in the scripture, and this will not be the only time in the Old Testament that we read of the angel of the Lord. This is Jesus. But let's keep moving and notice what happens next. Moses does what most of us would do. Verse 3. This is Exodus 3, verse 3. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. Yeah. Of course, he's wondering how it could be that the bush is on fire but doesn't burn, and his curiosity takes him over. But as Moses turned aside to look, the Bible says, verse 4, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And then Moses says by way of response, here I am. So at the bush, we have Moses, and we have the angel of the Lord, who I believe to be Jesus, and we have the voice of God. At this point, the plot really thickens. Let me read to you Exodus 3, verses 5 through 9. Then God said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. God also said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. That is Exodus 3, verses 5 through 9, and let's pause there in this remarkable passage. Again, this deserves a full exposition, but I do not have time to give it, at least not today. But here's where we will pick up again next time. And what you can do today or tonight, sometime before tomorrow, is to read Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. If you have longer, read all of Exodus 3. That will put you in a great position to understand the great truth that emerges from what God says to Moses. I am who I am. Again, we're continuing our journey of understanding the self-existent nature of God, and that continues next time, right here together, on God Is.